For me, often when I hear the feeding of the 5,000, especially when I hear it like that with an American accent and it's all very nice and Jesus is wide-eyed and he's kind of like, oh, you know, just smiling everywhere and stuff like that, that actually we can just brush past this story and think, well, actually, I don't need to feed 5,000 people. I'm probably not going to be in a situation to feed 5,000 people. How is this genuinely going to be relevant in my everyday life? Is anyone else being guilty, though, of trying to multiply a KFC bucket? No? Just me, then. I've genuinely tried it. I'm like, Lord, I give you what I have. I have 3 pieces. I'm really hungry. Please can I have some more. It didn't happen. So what is going on? What can we actually learn from it? Well, there's many things, and because obviously it's an all-age thing and didn't want to be too long, you know, we could have gone in to look at how the breaking of the bread and the offering before God is a real symbol of the Eucharist, how God can use the ordinary things and to sort of share that there's this future feast to come where all will be filled and satisfied. We could look at the 12 baskets left over and how that represent the 12 tribes of Israel, but that's all going to be for a different time. For today, I just want us to sit in 2 really simple things. And it's a challenge, basically, to ask, what do you see and what do you have? And so as we start to go through Scripture together and as we journey through, we're going to do a little Bible study together and we're going to go through each verse and see what the Lord may be saying to us, and we'll pray and ask God's Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to us and what we can learn from this. But as we do that, I want you to think about, what do you see and what do you have? So if you wouldn't mind just the next slide on there, that's it in less American version. That's the text. So let me pray. So Father, again, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you that we're being able to worship you and worship Jesus. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, now, would you come and illuminate our hearts? Would you just become the living word to us? More than just a nice Bible story, God, would you come and teach us and would you make us look more like your Son? And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. So we're going to ask this question, what do you see and what do you have? And the first thing we see in Matthew 14 there, verse 13, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Now the first thing, context in Scripture is so important. The wider literary context it is. What went before? What goes ahead? How does that fit in the theme of the book? How does that then fit in the wider sort of scheme of things? But in here, Jesus heard what happened. And if you look back, we see that his cousin, John, as in John the Baptist, his cousin was actually, passed away, let's put it that way, and not the nicest sort of manner. And so we see Jesus here, not with a smiley face, not the smiley face of like on the screen, but actually Jesus, when he hears that actually someone so close to him has died, he withdraws to a private place in a solitary place. And straight away, I love that in Jesus, we don't have this kind of like superhero God who's completely aloof to suffering and, well, it doesn't matter because I'm the resurrection and the life anyway, so he's going to go to a better place. But no, Jesus sits in the emotion of it and he's like, oh, man. And he grieves for the brokenness of humanity that he's going to come and restore. But, you know, that shortest verse in the Bible that Jesus wept, this sense of we don't have this God who's somehow distant, but a God who comes close. And he goes to a solitary place, and hearing of this, the crowds follow him on foot and the towns. Now, I don't know about you, but when you're busy, when you're tired, especially when you're grieving, what you don't want is people. Unless you're a super people person, you're an extrovert, you need that. For me, that's a nightmare. If the crowds come to me like that, I'm like, God bless you, go and see Gareth. Go and see someone else. I'm sure someone else can deal with you. But there's something here. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed the sick. Now, I want us to be able to really sit in this morning that God is a God of compassion. More than just being nice, more than going, oh, do I have to do it out of duty? But no, when God sees, he sees, even in the midst of his own sort of trying to work things out and his own grief, he sees and his heart just breaks and he has compassion on a helpless humanity. He sees them and he heals their sick. He heals the sick there. And that's so often easy to miss, isn't it? Just in the feeding of the 5,000, we get to the, and you know, there's bread and there's all that kind of stuff. But even in that emotion that God sees him and has compassion, that's what drives him to do this. This is what drives him to provide a spiritual and a physical needs. He provides them because he has compassion. And again, compassion, if you Google compassion, or if you've got like proper, you know, posh Bible study software like Logos and other things are available, if you actually Google it, and compassion, it's, the scripture is just full of this word describing God as a God of compassion. And one of the things I wanted to look at really quickly, if you could just go on the next slide, this is not something we just see in the New Testament in Jesus. But this is the Exodus story, the Exodus narrative. If you're a Christian, you'll you know, this is a really key aspect of seeing this mirroring of what Jesus was going to do. So the Lord said, I've indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I'm concerned about their suffering. Another root word of that is I have compassion on them. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And again, if you just go on the next slide, please, Joe. Look, there's this sense of, I have seen. I have seen. So God sees his humanity. He sees and he hears. He hears the cry. And what does he do in his compassion? He doesn't stand aside. He comes down. What a great glimpse of what Jesus is going to do. But in the sense of the Old Testament, who does he call on? He calls on Moses. And if you keep going through Exodus 3 to 4, there's this incredible dialogue between God and Moses. Moses, I'm going to come down and we're going to use your hands to get this problem sorted. And Moses is like, whoa, 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 whoa. No, who am I? And God's saying, don't worry about that. Worry about who I am. I am who I am. Worry about that. I'm going to be with you. He's like, well, what if they don't believe me? Well, no, I'm going to show you signs. Well, come and show me signs. And there's this amazing dialogue. And it gets to the point where he's just like, can you send someone else? who else has been like that? You kind of like, you maybe sense God is calling. So, can you just send someone else? I'm not the right person. He says, I've got no eloquence. I can't speak. And God goes, you're exactly the person that I want. And it comes from this place of compassion. It's so important that we see God as a compassionate God. If we can go back to another slide. Thank you. And again, in this story, we see that Jesus hears what's happened. He sees the large crowd and he has compassion. And he doesn't withdraw to be away from them, even though that was his first thing. He goes to meet them where they're at. He goes to meet them. And it says, the evening approached, his disciples came and said, this is a remote place. It's already getting late. Basically, you've done what you've set out to do now. You've healed the sick, that kind of thing. It's time for them to go. It's time for them to go to McDonald's. It's time for them to go somewhere else and go and get some food. And I love this. Jesus replied, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. You provide for them. And they're like, there's 5,000 of them? What? Like, I've not got enough money. That's a lot of Greggs. That's a lot of steak bakes. I've got nothing. It's too far away. We can't do that. No. He says, you give them something to eat. And again, this thing of what do you see and what do you have? Because there's a really important principle here. He says, we only have 5 loaves and bread and 2 fish. I've only got this. I've not got super gifts. I've not got this like amazing gift of communication to go and speak to the masses out there. I can't see, I can't do this. I can't do that. What do you have? I only have. And Jesus says to them, what you have, bring it to me. Whatever it is you have, you bring it to me. I'm going to be the one who's going to multiply that. I'm the one who's going to use that. But it's going to take a partnership with me and you. And can you see already is this sense of, Jesus could have just gone, well, 5,000, all right, I'll just pray over a cow and we'll get loads of cheese or something like that. Like he could have just done it, but no, he decides to say to you, no, we're going to go on a journey together because the way that I'm going to give you my heart of compassion and when you see what is going on, I'm going to use you to be able to provide the needs for the kingdom. And it's a really important principle. So today for you, what do you see in this busy generation? Like so often, so many of my friends, and me included, I can't, you know that expression, you can't see past your own nose? Because it's about me, and it's about building my little empire, and it's building my household, and it's building all those kind of things. And you know, I just want to speak over you guys. You know, I love the generosity that I'm hearing that flows from you, and always have a vision bigger than just yourself, your marriage. There's that sense of, we're just so about self, self, self in this culture. It's about as long as we're happy, as long as our needs are taken care for. And yet God wants to give us a heart of compassion, even when it's busy, even when we see and we can't help but go, oh, I want to partner with you in providing the need. And then here's the other thing, but what do you have? It's okay to see, and maybe you've already seen, as you walk around the city, as you go to the job center, as you walk into your medical center, as you go into your workplace, you see the need, but you're like, I've kind of got a bit of compassion, but I can't do anything about it. What can I bring? Genuinely, what can I do to make any difference in changing this situation? And that's where we need to hear. We bring it to Jesus. We bring what we have and say, God, this is all I've got. Look at us. As a church here, we're trying to reach Greater Manchester with the good news of Jesus Christ. If we just look at what's here now in this room, we'd probably go, what? But I love it because if we consecrate ourselves and we say before God, we say, we are yours, we are in, we've not got much, but we know that you are a God who multiplies, a God who has compassion and wants to meet the need of the city and wants to partner with us in it. That's the difference for me. So what do you see and what do you have? What is it that you can bring before God this morning and say, it's not much, but this is what I have? And what can he do with that?